Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5, today's Modern Worship right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my privilege to spend the next half hour with you as we discuss God's Word, the Kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about right now. That from the Lord's Prayer in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and I got a phone call Monday night that said that a very, very important person in my life, my pastor that I've talked about here for on many, many occasions, that he's going to be meeting the king. He's going to be meeting the king, and I know he's in his 90s. I know that that is going to be a very difficult transition for the family. He's the patriarch of the family, and but I cannot feel bad, because he has expressed for several years now, he's ready to go be with Jesus. He has lived well, he's loved well, he's served well, and now it's time for him to experience the kingdom of God in all of its fullness. And so I'm going to be flying out there once I know the arrangements. His daughter, when she called me, said, you don't have to do that. And my response was this: look, the only reason that I am still in the ministry is because of that man who, when people were telling me that I was worthless and I would never amount to anything in the ministry, he fixed my focus and he said, don't pay attention to those words. Pay attention to the God who called you. And he was there to encourage me. And so my response to the family was, there are not enough horses, nor are there enough armies to keep me away from honoring your father. And so if you would be praying for the family, you know, even as they made that announcement, you know, to me, they said, you know, we're not discounting that God could still do a miracle in this situation, but he's ready to go and experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. So if you would be praying for their family, I would greatly appreciate it. I do want to take a moment and say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. They, Bill really does a good job of keeping air conditioners running well, cooling systems running well. He knows all of the specs and everything that needs to be going. And, you know, if he can get more life out of it, out of a unit, he will do that. But like he did for us about this time last year, he said this: Pastor, I have worked on this unit and worked on this unit and worked on it. And he said, there are things that I can fix, and then there are problems that can't be fixed. And this unit is beginning to show signs of not having much in the way of repairs that can be successfully done. And so he prepared us. He said, you need to start saving some money so that you can get this unit done. And so get this unit replaced. So that's what we started doing the latter part of the year. A financial turnaround happened at our church, and we started putting aside some money. And then when the new year came, we said, you know what, let's go ahead and do this, because changing an air conditioner is very hard, hot, and intentional work. And I said, let's, and Creative AC Solutions is the one that changed that particular unit. And I said, let's call him out now while the weather is cooler so we can be a blessing to him as much as he's a blessing to the church. And so we have four units at our church, and we had to this is one of the last one that's to be replaced. It is over 20 years old, and so it had served well. But if you need an honest, reliable, competent AC repairman, give Bill Andreyk a call. Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. He'll be up front with you. He'll deal honestly with you, and you'll be dealing with a brother in the Lord. So thank you, Creative AC Solutions. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I finished up with this on yesterday's broadcast, and I went home, and as I was contemplating and meditating on this passage of Scripture, I just felt like I needed to revisit this particular passage to emphasize an aspect of the covenant of God. See, the kingdom of God is a covenant kingdom. So that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the kingdom of God is about covenant. It's not about convenience. It's not about anarchy. It's not about flesh. It is about spirit. It is a spiritual covenant. And so let me take you back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not going to park here for a great deal of time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 4 says, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So we realize that our sufficiency is from God, who makes up for our insufficiency with his sufficiency, transforms us so that we are thoroughly equipped as servants of the covenant, this new covenant that God established through Jesus Christ. And it is a spiritual covenant, and it is a covenant that gives life. You see, when a covenant is broken, there's a separation that takes place there. When you are talking about a spiritual covenant from the Spirit of God, it is a covenant that imparts life. Jesus did not come to diminish your life. He came to fulfill your life. The ultimate life that you have in God is because you walk in covenant with him, and as a result of that, he continues to give us breath. You see, everything that we have, whether it is the possessions that we own, the finances we have, the clothes that we have, the vehicles that we drive, everything we have, we are actually not owners of those things. We are stewards of them. We are caretakers of them. God is the one who owns all things. So he entrusts those things to us because he wants us to have life. The reason that I talked about that, all of those things are entrusted to us, is because he's the one that imparts his breath to us, his life, the air that I have coming into my lungs, the vitality in my body, the vision in my eyes, the hearing in my ears. All of those things are imparted to us for life. The covenant, the new covenant, is a spiritual covenant, and it is a spiritual covenant that gives life. It absolutely gives life. And God just doesn't give it in measure. He wants you to have life to the uttermost. He wants it to be life to the full. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And when I got to thinking about that, I got to focusing on this aspect. Why does the devil not want us walking in covenant with God? And it's because he wants death. He wants death. You see, there's a passage in the Old Testament, and you can, if you want to do a word search on it, you can type into your Bible or to your computer search and a covenant with death. And it talks about how the children of Israel, or the people of God, had entered into a covenant with death, thinking that by doing so they would miss out on the harm and the pain and the atrocities that were headed their way. And I will tell you that is something that nations still continue to do. There are literally people groups who have entered into covenant with the devil, and I'm telling you, that doesn't end well. You see, whenever we are not walking in covenant with God, we deprive ourselves of the life that God wants to have for us. And so whether it's the devil causing us not to want to enter into covenant with God, or actually seducing people to enter into a covenant with death itself. By the way, that the devil has never kept a covenant. He wants to hold everybody else to a legalistic standard, but he is always looking for a way out. He's looking for a loophole. And God wants you and I to walk in a spiritual covenant with spiritual life emanating from our very being. So the kingdom of God is a covenant kingdom, and I just want to make sure that you know that part of that covenant is life to the full. Life to the full. Now, turn over to Galatians chapter 3. That's where we're going to look at our next aspect. We're going to begin reading Galatians chapter 3, verse number 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yes, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So this is a covenant that has been confirmed. Jesus came and confirmed it. He said, look, I'm not only going to declare it, I want you to know that I'm going to confirm it. I don't know if you've ever had an online financial transaction, but they will have you put it into the cart. They will have you look at it. And then once you click on it, they will ask you one more time, do you confirm this purchase that is being made? It's like a three-step process, but they want to make sure that both parties understand the ramifications of that particular transaction that is taking place. Jesus Christ came to confirm the better covenant that God had established, the covenant of promise. It is a covenant that was confirmed. It is a covenant established in Christ. And if you look back at verse number 15, the lower standard of a covenant with man, once it is confirmed, it cannot be annulled, nor can it be added unto. That was the way men approached covenant. You couldn't go back and amend it. You couldn't go back and annul it. Once you entered into it, that's why when the children of Israel were going in to take possession of the promised land, and they entered into a covenant with the people of Gibeon, even though the Gibeonites acted in a deceptive manner, they said, we're from a long ways away, when actually they were just from down the road. And the children of Israel said, well, why did you do this? And they said, well, we did this because we knew that God had told you to wipe us out, and we wanted to live. And they said, well, now you are going to be servants. And they said, you know what? We're okay with being servants to God. And so they ended up being servants. And then when the Gibeonites were attacked, you know, carnal thinking would said, you know what? We'll let the enemy wipe them out, and then we won't be subject to having made a bad covenant before. But that's not the way that covenant works. Covenant says that when you have become one with this other people group, in this case, that when they are attacked, you are being attacked. And so the children of Israel rallied the troops, and they went and defended the Gibeonites and defeated all of the armies that had rallied against them. You see, God, listen, if that's the way that men would approach covenant, how much more so that does God approach covenant, that when you are under attack, he is under attack, and he is going to come and he's going to rally to your defense. Don't fight your battles alone. I am so blessed to be able to attend Merit Assembly of God, to pastor Merit Assembly of God, because they're a wonderful, wonderful group of believers. And, it really is such a privilege. That was the word I spoke over and over again since Sunday, since before the service. It was like, this is a privilege. It's a privilege to be in covenant with God. And that covenant means that everything that belongs to God is available to me. And everything that belongs to me is available to God. And every time that I'm attacked, God is going to come onto the scene. He is a God. Listen, when you are in covenant, you are going to make sure that there is righteous and just treatment. Justice is going to be bestowed. You see, the story of the Gibeonites does not end there. Later on, when Saul was king, he began to persecute the Gibeonites. He tried to wipe them out. And during David's reign, there was, I believe it was a famine in the land. They began to pray and say, what is going on? Why is this famine in the land? And God's response was, because when Saul was king, you violated the covenant with the Gibeonites. And then they had to go to the Gibeonites and say, how can we remedy this violation of the covenant that we've made? Now, if I can tell you this, God never violates and is never negligent on the terms of his covenant. I cannot say the same thing about me and my covenant with God. I don't know too many human beings that can say that they have upheld the covenant with God in a perfect manner, but thank God Jesus did. So he came and established a new covenant, and this covenant, just like a covenant with man, it cannot be annulled. It cannot be made. Listen to this. It's in the latter part of verse number 17. It's a covenant of promise, and it's a covenant of promise that cannot be made of no effect. It's an effective promise. The covenant we have with God not only has the promises, but they are effective promises. When it goes on and it talks about a little bit later, we'll talk about this. It's a better promise. In fact, let's look at verse number 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So I told you about my pastor, and you know, that he's getting ready to experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. And it's because of promise. And, you know, I, I'm I know that his family is not wondering about whether or not he's going to go to heaven. They're knowing that he's going to go to heaven. And I'm looking forward to that inheritance. When he retired from the church that I grew up in, and, you know, he that was what he did. He retired, and then another church found out he was retired, and they asked him to come and serve, and he served there for a few years. And a friend of mine actually worked for him, and then after he finished there, he went to the mission field and was extremely effective for the kingdom of God in Hong Kong before it was turned back over to China. He was just a tremendous blessing wherever he went. In verse number 18, it says here that the inheritance is of the law. The inheritance of the law, it is a covenant of promise. God has made a promise that you and I are going to have an inheritance. When he retired from our church, he was cleaning out his office. And he had a beautiful office back in the day. And he was just going to throw some stuff away. And he had these praying hands. They had a chip on them. And I said, Pastor, would it be okay with you if I had those? And those praying hands are still in my office today. They are a lingering memory of the inheritance that someone else made available to me. I asked his family, you know, years ago, if they still had his sermons or any of his books, and I think those are all long gone. But I can tell you this, the inheritance that you have in God, it's never going to be delayed. It's never going to be late. It's not going to be discarded. No one's going to be uninformed as to the inheritance that you have in Christ. You and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We walk in covenant with God. It is a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 7 says this. But let me just turn over there to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 18. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Jesus is the guarantee. He is the assurance that our covenant is a better covenant. If you look at the covenant established with the Old Testament law, it is quite evident that no one could walk in 100% obedience to that covenant. Everybody falls short, and if you fell short of one aspect of the law, you fell short in all of the aspect of the law. And you were guilty of a complete and total violation. You violated the covenant. But Jesus came and he established a better covenant, and the guarantee of that covenant is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is, he said, you know what? I am going to make up for everything that you were incapable of doing. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, Therefore, it is necessary that the one also, that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Are you ready for this? But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. You and I, because of Jesus, because of the new covenant established in the New Testament, because of Jesus Christ, we have a better covenant, which has better promises, and because of that, we have a more excellent ministry. Jesus ministers in excellence. I don't know about you, but I want to do things with as much excellence as I can. And if I was to look at this verse, I would see that Jesus' ministry is not only ministry, it's excellent ministry. And not only is it excellent ministry, it is more excellent ministry. Jesus gives you his best. So let me ask you today, if we are looking at this, are you experiencing the light? Let me put it this way. Apart from walking in covenant with God, you will always be walking in a lower quality of life than what God intends for you to walk in. And I also want to say this. God wants to establish a profitable covenant for the both of you. He wants to establish an excellent covenant on our behalf. He wants it to be in full force and full effect. It is a better covenant. It is established on better promises, and it is because of the most excellent ministry of Jesus Christ. Will you give him your best? Because he is giving you, he's giving us his very best. I don't know about you, but he deserves my very, very best today. God bless you. Have a marvelous day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
What is the significance of a stone out on the ground? Not much. But you take that stone and put it with a lot of other stones, and it becomes a beautiful temple as the master architect assembles these stones together. Now, friend, that's what Jesus Christ is doing with us. By ourselves, we're not all so much. Any individual block or brick is not all that handsome, that beautiful. It is together that we have our significance.